As we're aware, the subject we're going to be talking about tonight is pride. So before we begin, I'll open in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to meet. We are grateful for this Tuesday evening group that we have and the opportunity to share together from your word, share together in prayer. And so we pray your blessing once again on your word as it's open. We pray, Father, that what I share would be helpful to all of us and just work in our heart. And Father, that you would just be pleased with what is said by the thoughts of our heart and the words that I speak tonight. And as we pray together, Father, bless our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I've titled this Pride, the All-Pervading Sin. And I guess the reason I did that is that Charles Spurgeon used that term for the sin of pride. And I'll just read this quote of his. It says, "Pride is so natural to fallen man that it springs up in his heart like weeds in a well-watered garden. Its every touch is evil. You may hunt it down, this fox, and think you have destroyed it. And lo, your very exaltation is pride. None have more pride than those who dream that they have none. Pride is a sin with 1,000 lives. It seems impossible to kill." So I know lots about weeds in my garden, and I also know lots about pride in my life. And so I was happy to be able to look into this subject. I'd never done any study on pride before, and when that opportunity afforded itself, I wanted to jump on it. It's something that I've struggled with through my life, and so let's begin by looking at a definition of pride. There's a number of words used in the Bible that have been translated as pride in the English, and so just very briefly, geon being one, that speaks of arrogance, cynical insensitivity to the needs of others, and a presumption, I think, before God and before man. Another Hebrew word, gaba, speaks of being high or above others, putting ourselves above others, and particularly our confidence in self above God. And then the Greek word that is often translated pride is hyperphanos, arrogant, or overweening. And certainly pride is used occasionally in scripture in a positive sense, but more commonly in a pejorative sense. So that's really what we're going to be speaking about tonight. There's numerous biblical examples of pride. I mean, as we work our way through the Bible, there's countless stories where pride had a significant impact in the story, and the Lord spoke much about pride. But we can go right back to the beginning, and I can read these couple of verses in Genesis 3 where it says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband who was with her and ate it." So essentially, the heart of the problem here was pride, that Adam and Eve chose to consider their thoughts on the matter, to believe Satan over God, and decided to make a decision that was ultimately motivated by pride. And it is absolutely significant, obviously, for us today. It led to the fall of the human race and affects us today. We can go a little bit further, and we can read about Satan in Isaiah 14. And we know that Satan was cast out of heaven, and the reason being pride again. Satan didn't want to come under God's authority. He didn't want to be less than God. He wanted to be equal with God. He wanted to have the power that only God could have. And he was thrown down out of heaven. So likewise, the root of the problem there was pride and presumption before God. And so two extremely significant events in the history of the world, pride was the issue. And we can continue on. There's numerous examples. I've just jotted down a few here. A number of kings that we see as prideful, pride being a significant problem. Uzziah, King Hezekiah. Nebuchadnezzar, we remember how he looked down over his kingdom and wanted the glory for how he had established it all, and God brought him low. And it wasn't until he looked up to heaven again and acknowledged God and what he had done that he regained his senses. King Herod, we read about him, how people were bowing down to him, and he refused to, well, he accepted what they were doing as king, and God brought him low, struck him down, and says he was eaten by worms. So again, some examples of kings. We read of the Pharisees in the New Testament. Jesus spoke much of their pride. Just read this passage, and it says, and they loved to sit at the head of tables at banquets and in the seats of honors in the synagogues. They loved to receive respectable greetings as they walk in the marketplace and to be called rabbi. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And on a number of occasions, the Lord Jesus spoke against the pride of the Pharisees. So I think if we had just these examples of pride and what they have done through history, it would be certainly a very interesting study to consider and see how dangerous the sin of pride is. But perhaps more importantly, the reason for studying the subject of pride is that God hates pride. And that's brought out in a number of places, particularly in Proverbs. I've noted some of those verses. Proverbs 6:17, that's where there's seven sins that God hates. And the first one is haughty eyes or puffed up eyes or really talking of pride. Proverbs 3:34, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then a number of other verses, God hates the proud in heart. And I cited those too. So obviously very serious. God takes pride seriously and is very much opposed to it. That verse, Proverbs 3:34, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's quoted twice in the New Testament, both by Peter and James. In their books, they quote that verse. And if we can have a picture of pride, I would see a huge tree with many branches and the trunk of that tree being pride and the branches of it being other sins, because really so many other sins really stem from pride. If we think of any number of them, we can think of slander, we can think of sexual sins, drunkenness, immorality of various types. At the heart of virtually all of those sins is the sin of pride. Now, I've found it helpful just to think of pride from two perspectives. Let me back up. I'm just going to go through this. So why does God hate pride so much? And just a few points on that. God loves truth, and pride is really a distortion of truth. Pride distorts a proper understanding of our relationship with God, but it also distorts gives a wrong judgment of ourselves vis-a-vis those around us. And also, as believers, the reason we are here is to bring glory to God, and to the extent that we're exhibiting pride or prideful in ourselves or trying to, bring glory to ourselves, that we're failing to do what God would ask us to do. Now, I wanted to go on and look up a verse. If you have your Bible, you can look it up, but it's just a very short verse, so perhaps don't need to, but Proverbs 21, verse 4. I've got two different versions here because they come out a little bit differently in different versions, but it says, a haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. And in other versions, it says, the lamp of the wicked are sin. So haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked are sin. And I think the first two phrases of this this verse are fairly straightforward. But as I read a number of commentaries on the verse, the idea of that third phrase is that, as plowing prepares the earth to produce crops, or as a lamp guides our path, so the sin of pride prepares the way to guide us into the path of other sins. And so pride, I think, is a sin in and of itself, but it also very much is a sin that leads us into other sins. And I think that's extremely important for us to be aware of and take it perhaps more seriously because of that fact. So I'm going to just talk about pride from two standpoints, and I found it helpful to think about pride from the two standpoints. So how we can have pride in our relationship with God, first of all. And so just a few points around this. So rejecting God is really the ultimate example of pride. So if we accept or reject God, we're saying that we don't need him, that we are not in need of a savior. We don't understand the necessity of a savior or the seriousness of our sins. And Ephesians 2 certainly talks about that as we look at that. A chapter of Ephesians that really we need to come to the point where we humble ourselves before God, really realizing our sinfulness, and that our salvation is not anything to do of ourselves, but is a gift from God. Another aspect of pride, so not just rejecting God, but realizing that all that we have comes from God. And that, anything that we have, whether it be materially, anything that we have in the way of gifts, all those things are absolutely a gift from God, and that we have nothing to take pride in, but to rather to be thankful to God. So to the extent that we don't do that, that's certainly a pride, a type of pride in our relationship with God. Pride, another aspect of that pride would be not fearing the Lord in an appropriate way as we should. And that's certainly an important aspect of humility, is realizing God, seeing God for who he is and acknowledging him and having a true respect for him in our way we live our lives and the way we come before him and the way we honor him with our lives. And to the extent we don't have that fear of the Lord, then we're certainly exhibiting pride before him. And then finally, and I'm sure there's others, but there's just four that I put down. We need to show humility in the way we allow God to guide our decisions in our lives. Proverbs 16, 1-3 speaks of that. Looking to the Lord for all of our planning. We can make plans looking to the Lord for guidance, looking for his input, as it were, you know, there's that passage in James 3 as well that speaks a lot of that, where we need to be acknowledging God as we make our plans and decisions, and he's the one who should be guiding and directing us, and that we shouldn't be saying, as the verse in Proverbs says, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go here and, you know, make all our plans absent of God in our planning. Otherwise, we're simply exhibiting pride in our relationship with God. Next, I just want to talk a little bit about pride in our relationship with others. Pride in our relationship with others. And certainly we, you know, the sin of pride, I'm just going to click over here to this one. So I would say the first point is that pride has the ability to destroy relationships. And a verse in Proverbs that speaks to this is Proverbs 13:10. Says pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. And all of us have friendships. Many of us have spouses, and we can all tend to get into quarrels at times. But at the heart of most quarrels probably is pride, I think. And another aspect is unwillingness to take advice. And maybe I'm speaking for myself, but I'm not often keen to take advice. And that's a sign of pride in my life. To the extent that we are willing to take advice, we're willing to listen to those around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our spouses, those at work, we're going to have less quarrels, but we're also going to gain wisdom. And to the extent that we have wisdom and are willing to take advice, we're going to have fewer quarrels and we're going to have healthier relationships. Pride causes us to put others down and lift ourselves up, doesn't it? And Proverbs 21:24 says, "The proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name." And many of us would think that, you know, I don't verbally mock people at work or at home, or my spouse or my friend, my brother or sister at church. But mocking doesn't have to happen verbally, does it? It can happen in our own hearts. And to the extent that we're putting someone else down, that we're having a less than proper attitude towards another individual, we're really mocking that individual. And so I think it's important for us to judge our thoughts and the attitudes of our heart when we're considering others, not just when we think of an arrogant person who's mocking. That can be us as we have perhaps mocking thoughts in our heart towards another individual. And the third thing that I've noted in terms of pride in our relationship with others is that the verse 20, Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another praise you and not your own mouth." And when I think about that, pride causes biased judgment. When we are, you know, watching a sports event, we want an unbiased referee, don't we? And when we are being graded on a paper at school or whatever we're doing, we want unbiased judges. And likewise, we shouldn't be judging our own actions or our own acts, but we should let others judge it rather than us judging ourselves. And I think to the extent that we're being prideful and praising ourselves, we're not going to have as much time or energy to praise others. And that's, I think, where we should be focusing our energies on, is giving praise to those around us. So I think most of us would realize that the disease or the sin of pride is problematic for many reasons. And we've discussed some of those reasons. It's problematic in our relationship with God. It's problematic in our relationship with those around us. But one of the difficulties, I think, of pride is it's a disease that's very difficult to diagnose. We may not see it in our own heart, in our own lives. And it often takes some digging deep to see if we have any symptoms of pride. And so I want to sort of round out our discussion here tonight, just talking a little bit about seven symptoms that I've put down. A number of these I got out of an article or a message written by Jonathan Edwards and a number of others I thought of myself, but I'm sure that there's a number of other symptoms of pride that you could probably think of. But let's go through these one by one and just perhaps think about them for a minute. So fault finding. I think pride causes us to tend to filter out perhaps the evil or the sinful thoughts and actions that we have. But I think it also tends to help us or cause us to ignore perhaps some of the good things in those around us. You know, perhaps we may have sat through a message and we've listened to the preacher give an admonition or speak about particular sins, and we're thinking perhaps of the person beside us or someone else and how they might apply to them rather than how they should be applying to us. So I think fault finding, if we tend to be apt to find fault in others and not in ourselves, then that would be a symptom of pride in our lives. Second one, a harsh spirit. A harsh spirit, I guess, would be as opposed to a gentle spirit or a spirit that has a patient spirit. And I often think of, in this case, the parable of the unmerciful servant. And we know that parable well, where the king, the unmerciful servant begged for forgiveness from the king from a debt that he owed and was graciously given that or forgiven that debt. And then when a fellow servant came to him asking for forgiveness for a very small sum of money, he wouldn't provide that. And a harsh spirit is one that sees sin and is frustrated in sin and those around us and tends to be harsh towards those people rather than gentle and understanding. And I think that that's a sign of pride, not seeing perhaps some of the things that exist in our own heart and really focusing on those things that we see in those around us. Number three, I put down whitewashed tombs, but it, really referring to the passage in Matthew chapter 23. And I spoke a bit earlier about some of the things that the Lord spoke against in the Gospels. And he certainly spoke about against the Pharisees. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of dead men and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." I think like the Pharisees, we can tend to be more concerned about sin in our own lives that are visible to those around us, and not so concerned about hidden sins in our lives. And if that's the case, that would be a symptom of sin. Fourthly, adverse to correction. If we have a tendency to think that we're always right and that when people challenge us or suggest that we might not be right, that we get angry or that we get defensive, then perhaps that's a sign of or a symptom of pride in our own hearts. And I'd be the first one to put up my hand again and say that I'm not keen on correction, but to the extent that I listen and will learn from those around us as they try to correct us, that's a sign of humility. So another symptom of sin. Fifthly, we talked a bit about this earlier, but presumption before God. Presumption before God. Again, we need to have a certain reverence before God, but also a realization that all of our good works are as filthy rags before the Lord, and so that we can't come before the Lord thinking that we bring anything or that we can offer anything, but that He gives us everything. And so sin of being presumptuous before the Lord is a sign of or a symptom of pride. Sixthly, seeking attention. I think pride is hungry for attention, and we can get attention in all kinds of different places. We can perhaps get into unhealthy relationships because we're seeking some kind of comfort or some kind of attention from someone. We can seek attention through purchasing some kind of thing that might bring attention to ourselves. A sports car, a new house, whatever it might be, those things may be all right, but they may also be a sign of pride in our lives. So any kind of activity that might seek attention might be a sign or a symptom of pride in our lives. And then final one that I had down is preferential treatment. We can sometimes give special treatment to those around us who perhaps are going to bring benefit back to us. And, you know, James chapter 2 speaks about that. When someone comes into your meeting and is dressed finely and you see them in a nice place, and someone who isn't so much comes in and you don't pay as much attention to them. And so I think giving special treatment to those who perhaps will notice us more or give us more attention or may benefit us will be a symptom of pride as well. So just some thoughts there on symptoms of pride that might signify pride in our own lives. And so I'm just going to conclude just with a few notes here because I know time's running out. Like any other sin, we need to hate the sin of pride. God hates pride, and we need to really hate the sin of pride. But like any other sin, we need to ask God's help to turn from it. First of all, identifying it, because it is a difficult one to identify. And then we need to, after identifying it, confess it and turn from it. And a verse that I put down here that I think is helpful with regards to this is a Psalm of David. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so as we think about the sin of pride, we need God's help in just testing our hearts, our thoughts, in order for us to really unearth some of those aspects of pride that perhaps are active in our lives, and to turn in humility to the Lord and follow Him in His in his humility that he gave us such a wonderful example of. So I trust that that's our desire. The desire that David had as he wrote this psalm would be our desire, and that we'd be willing to heed God's word as he speaks to us through it, as he speaks to us, perhaps pointing out areas of pride, as others perhaps speak to us, that we'd be willing to listen to them as they speak truth into our lives, and also be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God speaks to us. And may we all, I think, realize more and more just what a significant and really dangerous sin pride is in our lives, and how it can affect us and lead to many further sins. So that's it for tonight. I'm just going to close in a word of prayer then, and I'll turn it over to you, Corey. Father, we again thank you for your word, and Lord, our prayer would be that your word would speak to our heart and just teach us daily, and that we'd be open to what you want us to hear and learn from it, and that we would be active in putting those things into action. And Lord, so we pray, Father, for just the thoughts that you brought before us tonight, that you'd help us and use these thoughts to bring glory to you. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.